All right. So when you're ill, they say, make sure and get plenty of vitamin C. So let's share some together.
All right.
First of all, when you wake up in the evening and the day is shot, find yourself complaining about the things you ain't got. Never goes just the way that you want it to. Cliche of the day, c'est la vie, that's just life.
Life,
it ain't easy. It's so tough. It ain't easy.
What you gonna do, say what you gonna do?
Put a smile on your face.
Oh my god. I think I just got sicker. Well, as you could probably tell by my voice, there are some sicknesses inside of me. I got some problems, guys. Health problems. But we'll try and push through this together. We can do this if we try. We can do this, baby. If we try, Well, Leonard, just vitamin C just went away. Fuck it. Does anyone care? Are we fine? Did we get enough? I heard too much vitamin C will harden your liver, which I think is because when you hear that song, you just want to drink booze all day. Or cold medicine, which is what I've done. Yeah, I got a nice amount of NyQuil in last night. And then this being day, I've got DayQuil. DayQuil is a really wonderful product because it's like you want to really be wide awake to experience the horrors of sickness. You don't want to just let it go, right? You want to have the full sick happening and be fully awake for it. Anyway, I'm flying on this DayQuil right now. So I'm awake and sick. And we'll just see what happens. If you're at home, feel free to join me on this wavelength. The show, I don't know if this is going to make any sense if you don't join me. So maybe it's time to just get a NyQuil and just drink it until your brain dies. Turns into a mush of spongy NyQuil infested tissue. I'll wait. There we go. So I decided to try and get better. Instead of my normal thing where I say I'll just be sick until I'm dead. That's one of my usual treatments for the colds, the common cold. I decided to try and get better. So, you know, my first thing was my boss. What did my boss say to get better? She's like, just drink water until your kidneys float. Okay. I drank 2.5 gallons of water the first day I was sick. Which I don't know if that sounds like a lot of water or not, but it's a lot. That's enough water where for the first time in my life, sober, I thought I might throw up from drinking too much water. I have done this before drunk because I get home and I can tell I'm going to be hungover. So I'll say, I'm going to drink 10 glasses of water and then that'll cure me. And all that does is mean I'm drunk and then have a hurt tummy for the rest of the night. So I tried to spread it out a little more through the day, but it was a push at the end. 2.5 gallons was the biggest container they had at the grocery store. So I could see my progress as I moved through the day. Yesterday, I probably also had about 2 gallons. So this is 4.5 gallons of water in 2 days. I mean, at this point, this 2.5 gallons, I don't know if that sounds like a lot or not, but it's enough to power like a small motorcycle for 100 miles. I had to pee so many times, it doesn't even make sense anymore. I would wake up from a fog of NyQuil and fog and not be unsure. I was waking up unsure what the stimulus was that had caused me to awaken. And then I would go, oh dear, it was, I have to urinate desperately right now. I'd crawl out of my bed, make my way to the restroom, and go nuts. And then it was the kind where you're standing there for so long. After I stood there peeing one time, after that I sat to pee because it took too long. My legs were tired. They were filled with flu and poisons. Not the materials that help you hold your body in an upright peeing position. So I don't know if that works or not. I did discuss this last weekend. We were at Frozen Dead Guy days. How I'd like to go to enough medical school to put an IV in myself. That maybe if I could do that, I could prevent most hangovers and other effects because I could just have fluids draining into me as I sleep. It seems like a good plan to me. I don't know. How much medical school could you possibly need? The people at the Bloodmobile don't seem to know what the hell they're doing. So there you go. I tried the water. A friend's mom is a nurse, and her remedy was oregano oil. So this is like the spice oregano, somehow oilified. I don't really know how that works. I don't know how you can just make anything into an oil. Could I just make oil out of a Twix and then include that when I make pancakes? If I can, someone let me know. Or if that's already been in the works, let me know, because I'm pretty excited about oil pancakes. I made a grilled cheese sandwich using bacon grease instead of butter. I just spread it on like a disgusting jelly, and it was delicious. So if you can get past the making part, bacon grease makes a great substitute for butter on your grilled cheese. So I drink this oregano oil in some water. You dissolve it in there, it makes it cloudy and green, and makes it taste sort of like a pizza, except horrible. Which is the worst the flavor you can imagine, because it's perverting one of the world's more delicious flavors into something dark and demonous. And I don't care for that. But I've been drinking oregano oil as well. And I don't know. Here's the thing. When you get sick, you kind of have a couple choices. You can go with a remedy that you know works for you. But if you're like me, I don't really know a remedy that works. I don't have a go-to. Like, this is how I get over sickness. How I get over sickness is by being sick for like 5 days. That's my technique, if you will. So if I had something, I'd go for it. So because I don't have something, I just try everything. I'll do anything. It doesn't matter how bizarre or stupid it sounds. I'll try it. You know, I suppose it's not good science because you say, okay, well, if you do get better, you won't know what it was that cured you. And that's reasonable. However, I don't care. I'll just do all that stuff next time as well. I mean, I got the emergency. I don't think that does anything. That must just be like powdered Mountain Dew or something, right? Because I take emergency and I actually feel pretty good for like a half hour. I got one called Acai Berry. Does anyone know what this is? Is this a real berry or is this like an invented berry? Like a blue raspberry. Is that a real berry or is that just a candy berry? At some point, this acai berry, I don't even know if I'm saying this right, but that's how I'm gonna say it, came out of fucking nowhere, and everyone says, okay, this berry is probably gonna solve all of our problems. There's an ancient people, and this is their berry, and they never get sick. Well, it must be fucking nice. If they never get sick, I don't think that we should be eating the same things because I always get sick. So I need something different probably than them, right? I mean, doesn't that work just as well as saying, oh, you should try and imitate them? Or shouldn't I say, well, we obviously have different needs because I am sick 100 days out of every 100 days in an endless parade of virulent strains of virus. The last time I remember being, well, no, not the last time. The last time I was real sick was just about a week of laying on the couch and sweating, which was unpleasant. I do have night sweating, deserves a quiet night. I get the night sweats. That's always nice. Piece of advice, regardless of why it happens, do not look up night sweats online. Because basically all you'll find is you probably have lymph node cancer. And why even? Normally we'd say consult your physician, but at this point we're saying there's no reason. Just lay down some plastic, a tarp, and try not to ruin your mattress before you pass. I do worry because the first night I was sweatier than last night, and I was wondering if maybe I drank too much water and that my body's response was to expel it from all available openings. But yeah, night sweating is pretty, it's an uncomfortable sensation. You wake up, you're all, you know, imagine you're laying in bed and someone just kind of dropped a glass of water, drizzled it over you in the bed, and then you just have to go back to bed because what else are you going to do? Not cool. And then you want to wash your sheets and all that, but you're like, well, if I wash them tonight, tomorrow is night sweats part two, then what do? This also made me wonder how people are sleeping with, like, a spouse. I mean, it seems like it'd be really nice most of the time. But when I was real sick, I think it would be terrible. They'd be like, well, you were somehow snoring through your tonsils. I don't know how that happens, but it does because they get all swolled. And you sweated up the entire bed. And basically, just it was craziness all night. And I hate you, and I'm tired now and probably going to get sick also. That's probably why you need to have a real comfortable couch. So that you can just say, you know what, maybe I'll couch sleep as the sick one today. I'm gonna couch bound myself. Quarantine myself to the couch. That's one of the cures. Building a couch nest. Oh God, there's an alarm going off in here. Jesus. Alright, hang on. We gotta solve this. Yeah, I'm convinced that it doesn't matter how pleasant your alarm jingle might be, it'll make you miserable. I'm fairly convinced of this fact. You can have a nice, pleasant birds chirping or whatever, a rooster. And after waking up to that for a few years, you just want to strangle. You want that sound to become a person personified so that you can strangle it. For those of you who've been following the show, interesting NyQuil side effect that I had. I had a semi-successful sex dream last night, which has not been possible for some reason because my brain has been not allowing that to happen most of my life. I say semi-successful because there was sex had. However, it was with this lady and also her sister, and that didn't work for me because then in the middle of it, I was like, why is this sister also here and naked? This is not what I was going for. I'm not real interested in this. What can we rewind? Do something else here? So, you know, success and not success mixed together a little bit. So I asked online, and I also scoured the web for some cold treatments that I could possibly try to feel better. Unusual ones, just because I don't have a lot of knowledge about this. So one of the options here was to listen to jazz music. Here's what it says. Research has shown that listening to jazz for 30 minutes boosts our levels of immunoglobulin, an immune protein that plays a critical role in defending against infection. It resides in the mucosa, the lining of the nose, throat, da-da-da-da. Furthermore, the effect of jazz on IgA levels continues for an additional half hour after music stops playing. Bluegrass, choral music, and soft rock have also been shown a similar response, meaning that Air Supply fans are in luck too. So every kind of music I don't like will help my immune system. Apparently you can't just listen to metal and get bad. Well, let's just do this. Let's play some jazz music. See how I feel. The really terrible Dixieland. Terrible sounds from jazz band. Absolutely awful jazz musicians. I don't know. How do you even know? Jazz performance. This guy is terrible. All right, that sounds pretty good. We'll see what happens. I don't feel very jazzy, but we'll see what happens, maybe.
I dedicate this song to the people of the country of America.
Well, he's got terrible sunglasses on.
Money's tight. For every man and lady. Mercedes. Jazz. America. 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 Whoa, what is that? On the horizon.
I like him.
Like China.
Is this what jazz
nights?
Music is? Just
is
some
paranoia?
Whacked out foreigner just
or
making up
just
stuff about Mercedes. I could live with this. Oh, God.
God save me.
I think this guy might be screwing with us, though, and not actually be serious. I'm not really interested in someone who's not serious. I'm interested in getting well. How about absolutely awful jazz musicians from Berlin? Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's just like a bunch of old white guys just going nuts, playing whatever the fuck they feel like. Yeah. I do feel less sick at the moment, but maybe it's just because this reaffirms that I can tell when something is horrible. So there's at least some functioning part of my brain that works right now. Some elementary piece of me remains alive. I don't know about this jazz. Also, furthermore, I don't know if it's worth it. Sounds like you'd have to do it on the regular as a preventative measure. So I'm going to pass. I'd rather be sick than listen to jazz. I grew up listening to jazz at my mom's house. And I will say this, like any kind of music, it's 90% shit and 10% okay. The problem with jazz is the shit is real shitty. The other problem with jazz is a lot of people will say, I like jazz. I think jazz is good. And it's like, no, you don't. You just think it's good because you think that's like Eric Clapton or something. You think you like jazz, but you have no idea how much you don't like it. It's horrible. Well, let's see. Put on a pair of cold, wet socks. It may sound counterproductive, but according to some lady in Toronto, wearing cold, wet socks to bed when coming down with a cold can mimic the effects of immune-enhancing hydrotherapy treatments. Soak a pair of socks in cold water, put them on your feet, and cover them with a wool or thermal socks. Go to bed and keep your feet in a warm blanket. Okay, I'm not doing that either. That sounds horrible. Sounds uncomfortable and terrible. I mean, all these things so far sound just like, well, these are things that make your life worse. So when you get the cold, it just doesn't seem that bad. You know, jazz is kind of what plays in my brain when I'm sick. It feels like I'm in a jazz fugue. So if I have it all the time, then when I'm sick, I only feel 20% worse instead of 100. Break a sweat. Exercise. Moderate exercise. Reduce the risk of infection. Yeah, great. That sounds like a good idea. Oh, also catnip. Okay. Catnip. Have some catnip. What is catnip doing to cats? I don't even understand what it does to cats, let alone if I ate it. I suspect it would do nothing to me. I think cats are just real susceptible to placebo effect or something. Because as far as I can tell, catnip just seems to be oregano or something. I mean, it seems like you could really probably get away with making a catnip pizza. Order a pizza on a Friday. Have your pizza with your cats in your lonely apartment. And you get to eat pizza and your cats go fucking nuts. This is a full night's entertainment. I don't know why no one's selling catnip pizza yet, but we're just not there, are we? We're just not there as a society. Catnip pizza. Let's see. Oh, eat some chocolate. All right. Hot dark chocolate and sweeten it with honey. Chocolate contains theobromine, a component that suppresses the nerve activity responsible for coughing and has found to be 3 times more effective in stopping persistent coughs than codeine. But sugar can weaken the immunity. Damn it. See, everything is like, it's also questionable. Hey, is this going to save me or make me worse? And everything you do normally is worse, and everything you don't is better. Eat a raw onion. Okay. They have sulfur. They're antimicrobial. I don't know if I could eat a whole onion. Do you think you could make it through a whole onion? Try using raw onions in a homemade cough syrup. Ugh. How do you syrupify onion? Is that possible? And how would you do that? And if you know how to do that, why would you do it? I like onion, don't get me wrong, but just thinking of eating one like an apple, that seems like a crazy way to live. Let's see, what else? Oh, this is a Canadian website I'm on, no wonder. Oysters, all right, well, that's not possible. I don't even know, does like Long John Silver's or KFC or something have an oyster bucket yet? Fried oysters or something? Because I don't know where you even get those. Have a glass of coconut water, I'd rather die. You guys had this coconut water everyone loves so much? Ugh. Vile poison. And what is coconut water? I get what coconut milk is. That's like coconut juice, by the way. I don't understand why it's milk, because it looks like milk. So where's the water coming from, though? How do we shift from milk/juice to water? I don't get that one. Let's see what else we've got. Goggle Moggle. Originating in Russia and the Ukraine, this hot drink is the result of whisking together an egg yolk with a teaspoon of honey or sugar. Pour the concoction into a half cup of milk that has been heated with a tablespoon of unsalted butter. The adult version of this remedy resembles eggnog. Add a slug of rum or cognac. No studies measure the effect of this, but it may ease sore throat scratchiness. Yeah, all right, I would probably try that. Although, I don't know. That, for me, is probably like it would be for most people making the bacon grilled cheese sandwich, where by the time you make it, you can no longer eat it, because it's just poison. I mean, it just seems like poison. And China, okay, people burn wormwood. Burning the dried leaves of this plant is said to have an antiseptic effect. It is believed to prevent cold or flu germs from spreading. Okay. Pass on that. A lot of the word believe in that one. I believe. Okay. Well, I believe if I sleep with a dryer sheet over my face, that everything, that's how I get fresh breath. Put a goddamn dryer sheet over my face. Pick up your dirty socks. Place dirty socks around your throat. Greasing the throat first with chicken fat or lard was part of this folk cure. The therapeutic logic behind this one is hard to pin down, but dirty socks around the throat may have originated in England. They served to label people with potentially fatal throat ailments in the days before powerful drugs and vaccines. Okay. The sight of someone swathed in dirty socks possibly warned others to steer clear. Or the dirty sock boa may have induced sweating, which was believed to help the body of illness. So I could lube up my neck with chicken fat, or possibly bacon fat, I guess, would be fine, or Crisco, and put a sock around it. That sounds great. Oh, good. Yeah, I could just put on a sweater, probably, if I need to sweat. I don't need to. I don't understand what the bacon grease comes in. Oh, God. Well, so far, all of this is terrible. Can hot cocoa help a cough? Well, we just talked about that. God damn it. It's funny to me how all these studies will do this. They'll be like, oh, chocolate is a remedy for this. Chocolate makes you not depressed. Da-da-da-da. And it's like, what a coincidence that we all tried chocolate for everything, or wine, or coffee. I'll tell you what, I feel better after I have a little coffee, regardless of the situation. They really should make a NyQuil DayQuil that goes into your coffee in the morning. Like, it's a creamer, but it's DayQuil. You pour it in there, you're drinking your coffee, you start feeling better. Everyone's happy. The world is filled with light and love again. It's all right. It's okay. And we're good. Pickled plum. The Japanese rely on sour pickled plum to prevent and heal colds and flu. It's not a plum at all, but a variety of apricot. And can be it can be eaten plain if you like the pungency, or steeped in hot tea with ginger and lemon. Yeah, no thank you. No scientific studies back this up. What a surprise. What a surprise. They're like, well, we don't like science, but here we go. Here looks like some kind of crazy vegetable. A turnip. Turnips have vitamin C and B vitamins. In Iranian culture, a plate of cooked mashed turnips is often served to a cold sufferer. Having a cold is sort of like having a birthday, where your friends try to help you out, sort of, but their ideas almost seem designed to make you suffer more. Or they say, oh, on your birthday, they're like, it's your birthday? Well, that means you should have 100 of shots. And when you're sick, they're like, oh, you're sick? Eat this whole plate of mashed crazy food. We'll just see what happens. I mean, maybe it won't get better, but then we just say, well, that's too bad. Tallow poultice. Sheep or cattle tallow, which is fat, was cheap and readily available in Texas. It was often used for skin ailments as well as to keep a deep cough from turning into pneumonia. Okay, so this remedy calls for a small amount of tallow to be wrapped in a flannel cloth, warmed, and placed on the chest. Good God. There are no medicinal effects. That's great. That sounds good. So I was worried about sweating in the bed, but instead I could grease the bed as well. Oh, man. Let's see if we got any other ones. Oh, frog skin. That sounds good. Frog and toad skin can treat more than 70 diseases. Some say the flu is one of them. The secret? Two proteins secreted from the skin of frogs that could help treat cancer and other diseases by disrupting the growth of blood vessels. Well, that sounds horrible. Okay, so I could capture a frog somehow, which I wouldn't know how to do, and then skin him alive. I guess he wouldn't have to be alive, but I don't know. And eat his skin. That sounds perfect. How many frogs? Do I have to eat like 40 of them or what? Here's another one. A home remedy for the cold and flu includes a gross main ingredient, cow manure. It is made into a tea, and many have come forward saying their grandmothers or aunts made it for them. Normally I pronounce that word aunt, but if you're talking about eating cow manure, it's your aunt. Well, that sounds terrible. So I'm basically drinking cow shit tea. That's your cure for the cold. Ingest shit. What? How? What? I'm so angry. I'm sick. Goose and kerosene. Rub goose grease and kerosene on your chest like you do Vicks VapoRub. And then it should give off an aroma that would help clear out a stuffy nose. I don't know what the goose grease did, says this guy, but it added a bit of smell of good food, and that was comforting. Wow. Or you could just do the VapoRub. I mean, whatever. Either you could use, like, goose fat, which I've... Thank God I've got a bunch of that laying around. And kerosene, which I also have a bunch of for whatever reason. People have kerosene. Electric eels. Have a sinus headache? Rumor has it, ancient Greeks thought it could be cured with a shock from an electric eel. Okay. Well, I don't know if I'd be super opposed to that one. I can't imagine it would hurt me too bad. I didn't even know if electric eels are real. How do they do that? That's like a superpower. They're like goddamn electro. They just make electricity out of their body. How does that happen? How does that happen? Nature really is wonderful, isn't it? You guys ever sit back and just think about when you take the cold medicine and you think about nature, fireflies? How does that possible work? Oh, God. I mean, why would that work, though? What purpose could it have for that to light up like that? I would think birds would just say, all right, this is the best bug to eat because it's like they're goddamn lighting up a landing strip for us here to land right on these fireflies and consume them with our beaks. You got garlic. You just eat it. It's a great ingredient. No shit. It's an expectorant, a decongestant. Garlic can help you cough up the bacteria in your lungs. You know, it seems to me that reading through this, the real key here is to eat a pizza. Onion, garlic, oregano, pizza. Have a fucking pizza and make sure you don't get the cold. Oof, mustard. You know, mustard I've had this issue with since elementary school, and I'll tell you why. There was this retarded girl I went to elementary school with. When we were in school, I've discovered a lot of things about how fucked up our school was that I didn't know until recently because I didn't really know what other people did in school. I didn't know, for example, that most other schools didn't make you a lunch where they put chili into a bag of Fritos. walking tacos, if you will. I didn't know that. Most schools didn't have teachers that explained they got pregnant by their boyfriend jacking off onto them as opposed to having sex. I completely forgot what I was talking about, you guys. Oh yeah, mustard. So in my elementary school, I did not know that it was unusual to have such a dense population of handicapped students. And what it was is I went to this school where they did this mainstreaming thing, where basically the handicapped kids spent most of the day in class with the non-handicapped kids. So there was a whole collection of handicapped kids in my school. One in particular would take her lunch tray, and you know, it's got the little individual squares, and she'd make sure to leave one blank, no food in it. And she would go over to the condiment zone and fill one of the sections with mustard, which then she would dip her finger into and lick the mustard off. And she would do this until she had consumed the entire tray section of mustard. Jesus. So as you can imagine, this has left me with somewhat of a negative opinion of mustard, if I can put it that way. I suppose it's not really a negative opinion of mustard so much as it is a... I don't even know anymore. I don't even know anymore, you guys. It's just when I see a pile of mustard, that's what I think of. Is this handicapped girl eating it from her finger glistening with her handicapped saliva. My God. It was to die for, let me tell you. That was a time in my life that I wish I could go back to over and over again. Oh, God. Hang on. It might pass away here real quick. Okay, I'm back. I survived. Did you? Did you survive? I went to a festival, a fest, this weekend called the Frozen Dead Guy Days, which has kind of been on the to-do list of to-do for quite some time. Here's some things I've discovered about myself. Number one, we're driving to this festival. Probably takes an hour, hour and a half. I am not good at passengering in the car. I get bored almost immediately. If there's more than two people, now if there's just two people, I'm usually fine. We just talk, and if it's just one people, I'm great, because then I can just sing Electric Light Orchestra's greatest hits terribly. But when there's like four people, I don't have these options the same. So I get bored about 4 minutes in to an hour and a half. I'm like a small child in the car. We rented a cabin from Airbnb. So the first night we were there, we went to a ball. Now, this is a costume ball of sorts. I did not know that all my friends were planning to wear costumes, really. I thought we would just go. But it turned out when we all met up, they all had these big plans. Nicanor had a suit. Katie had like this ball gown. Val, in classic Val fashion, had a costume that sounded insane and actually looked really great. It was a poncho with a bunch of snowflakes stapled to it. And totally worked. And a crown. So I said, fuck. I need a costume. But we had to stop at Target. We stopped there to get groceries. So I said, alright, I can slap together a costume. What did I find? I found ladies' stretchy cat pant tights. You know, these tights that everyone's wearing, or, I don't know, leggings, whichever one they are. These were covered in outer space, and then cats flying through the outer space. They're size medium, and I was holding them up, saying, I don't know, guys, it was the only pair. They only had one pair. And I was saying, do you guys think I could fit into this? And the lady who worked at the Target from across the way, she was at the checkout stand, was like, oh, definitely. She was very enthusiastic about me buying the cat pants, almost as if they were on a cat pants commission. You know, you sell these cat pants, it'd be an extra sweet addition to your paycheck this week. When I went to the checkout, it was a different lady. She was also very enthusiastic about the cat pants. So if Target Corporate is listening for some reason, know that your employees are doing a goddamn dynamite job pushing the cat pants. I also got, two steps away, a nice cat shirt, which I wore over a hooded sweatshirt because, the cat shirt was a woman's cut, so it was a little bit of a plunging neckline that I'm not accustomed to. And B, the sleeves were a little short. And C, I had no pockets to carry things like my identification because I was wearing cat pants and tights. I also got a tail that I tucked into them and ripped two pieces of an envelope to make little kitty ears. So I was Catman the night. It was a pretty successful costume. It turns out that basically everyone dresses either as the frozen dead guy or the snow queen. So I was the only one dressed off theme, it seemed, that for the night, just dressed up insanely. I had whiskers, I had a tail, I had boots. I didn't really dance much. There was a great moment where, so anyone who's dressed up goes on stage for the contest to see if they should be in the parade as the frozen dead guy or the wife. And the best part was, when it was Val's time to go up, some other lady just went up there. And they ask her this question. They say, how would you wake up Grandpa, the frozen dead guy, you know? How would you wake him up? And this lady goes, oh, I would wake him up one toke at a time. Woo! You know, and people are clapping. And then the guy's like, all right, that's Val, everybody. She leaves the stage. Classic. We all proceeded to get inebriated at this party, which was a good choice, but also a bad choice because I think being people of our age, we partied 90% of our party the first night and we exhausted our resources in a good way. But you know, the tent was cleared out. We left. There was barbecue consumed that may or may not have been super delicious. It's hard to say because you know how it is. When you're loaded, and you're just like, this is the best sandwich I've ever had, or it's just a sandwich. Katie fell when we walked in the door of the cabin and dropped a pulled pork sandwich, so I cleaned that up and then fell because I stepped on her keys, which she dropped when she fell. It basically turned into a huge shit show after we got back. I slept on the floor in the office of this cabin, which was a real smart thing for me to do. I did it. It was okay. It wasn't too bad. It turns out that when you're loaded, passing out in a sleeping bag on the floor seems fine also. It was the following night when I was mostly sober that it was a little bit more challenging. We got there and the guy who rented the cabin was like, there's plenty of wood, so throw it in the wood-burning stove and all that, which was cool. But then we ran out of wood. So then I split these logs, which I haven't done since goddamn Boy Scout camp. It seems fun. It seems cool. And then 2 minutes into doing it, I was thinking, if I had to do this every day, like had to do this for survival, I would hate this. what is it with life stuff where it seems it's like novelty and fun to have a wood burning stove and split logs and all that shit, but if you have to do it every day, if it becomes a chore, it is not fun. I bet I would enjoy driving a tractor for a couple hours, right? But if I had to do it every day, I would hate it. There's something about being if I was forced to play Super Mario, I would probably hate it for no reason other than I had to do it. So that makes me not want to. Humans are real fucked. I don't know what's wrong with us, that we're all motivated for the wrong things and demotivated for the wrong things. Well, guys, I think this is probably the majority of the show that I can provide today. Hopefully these will get better. But, you know, I'm disabled with cold right now. But stay tuned. We're bringing things back. We're trying to get stuff up every day. We were doing good until I got sick. But I think we'll be back. Hey, also, I'm writing little news pieces and then hopefully in April some columns for the website Lit Reactor. So go over there and have a look at those and make comments on them and stuff like that. This, you know, I'm a career man now. All right. We'll see you next time.
Tell me that the bar is drinking and the lights are swinging and the smoke. I'm a fool for conversation and I've got nowhere to go. I'm dreaming on the last of my home. Dreaming on the last of my home. Things are always better when we're all together. I'm dreaming.